I'm Amy, sex educator, sex and relationship coach, and co-owner of PurePleasureShop.com.
I'm April, VP of the cutting-edge sex toy company Hot Octopus, and I dedicate my life to the business of sex.
We are on a mission to teach you how to have hot sex, deep intimacy, and how to make your own rules for who you are as a sexual being.
Welcome to the Shameless Sex Revolution. Want to learn more? Go to shamelesssex.com.
And for 15% off of some of our favorite sex toys, use code SHAMELESSSEX at purepleasureshop.com.
You are listening to a pleasure podcast. For more from our sex podcast collective, visit pleasurepodcasts.com.
Well, hello, everyone.
Hey, everybody.
Happy, well, if you celebrate Christmas, it's almost Christmas. 2020.
They say happy Christmas in the UK.
Have a holly jolly Christmas.
I just heard on TikTok today some guy singing a Mariah Carey like a boss, dude. He
really
nailed it. It was amazing. Right. And then he went into a Whitney Houston.
Oh, Whitney.
And I will always love you.
Ooh, yours is good.
No, it's not. That was a joke.
Oh, my God. Okay, so we're starting TikTok with April singing your favorite songs.
You're scared of TikTok.
I am. Well, I don't know how to use it yet.
The TikTok will make you jump.
But I do like learning new technology, so.
Well, the dance parts are a little difficult because there's these dances that people do that usually I think celebrities create. And I've tried to do them with my partner's youngest daughter before, and I'm always like so bad. Like,
she's probably great.
She is so good. She's like, you got to do it like this. She's very patient. Yeah. But she definitely has been like, we need to redo this one. April, in the back, paying attention. I'm like, I can't get
my coordination is my strongest suit.
I don't think that you and I doing TikTok dance portions would be very helpful. And so Instagram has changed their terms and policies, and we're still not deleted. So as of right now, if you're not following us on Instagram, follow us, Shameless Sex Podcast, at Shameless Sex Podcast, because we're still up and running. We did have to take down some of our, in air quotes, explicit content, which was like
vote butts
with dildos spelled. Yeah. It was the word vote spelled out in dildos.
Might be too phallic.
There was some of me in lingerie that was questionable. However,
oh, we kept that.
We did.
Yeah.
So if you want to see me in some lingerie, Amy in lingerie.
If you're going to delete people for being in lingerie, then we have a problem.
It's something because of the algorithm. I sent you an article about it because you're like, what's the new terms and policies?
It's trying to target sex workers, just like this whole Sesta Fosta thing with Craigslist. And it didn't get rid of sex workers, everyone. And that was actually for human trafficking. Didn't get rid of that either. So it's interesting you try to get rid of a platform. They still happen.
It actually makes it less, I feel like you can track people less, right? We've done an episode
safety
of this. There's less safety. So either way, we are still on Instagram when we're recording this, which is December 22nd, 2020.
Woo!
And we're live in action. So check out our Instagram. We do take a lot of time. We run contests all the time. We're doing a contest right now.
I think it just ended today.
Oh, well, sorry.
We gave away a lot of free sex toys.
We did. Thousands. So,
thousands. Well, not sex toys. Of dollars.
Yeah. Dollars of sex toys.
Hey, Chip, what did I give you for
thousands,
Christmas?
Millions of rupees.
Millions of
for our
pesos.
Listeners in India, millions of rupees of sex toys. And what was your question?
What did I give you for Christmas?
Oh, she got me a Beyonce LP, everyone. Lemonade.
A record. Ooh. She got a record player.
Oh, yeah. An LP is a record.
Yeah.
And apparently it's yellow. I haven't actually opened it out of the
album
cover.
I thought today we were going to be at your house or at my house today. So I was like, oh my God, we can play on the record. We can dance. Maybe we can go there later. We'll see.
I bought this record player. It was very affordable. So if
it's adorable.
It's adorable. It looks like a 60s vintage
Victrola
record. It is.
So my dad has one from like 1900. That's a Victrola, but it's a very tall standing one, so the wooden ones that plays these.
How's the sound?
Old.
The sound on this one is not that great. There's no bass. So although it was wildly affordable, it was like $50 for this thing. But when I play it, it's like, I'm not really bumping tunes. It doesn't do justice, I feel like, to the creator of the music.
So it might not be the best for Lemonade. I know. Excited to listen to it.
But we'll still listen to it. I was thinking maybe I could audio rig like I did on your TV, a speaker to it to really bump it.
Well, the reason why I got her Lemonade was because it just is nostalgic for me. So back in the day when you were going through your divorce, or it was post-divorce, and then I was going through a breakup or heartache, and this is right when we started the concept of Shameless Sex before we actually had launched the podcast, and you were liberated. You're like, wow, and I was sad, and you had done a lot of work post-divorce with sex and relationship relationship coaches, et cetera. And I remember coming over to your house, I mean, so sad, just my heart was broken about this breakup. And you would put on Beyonce on your TV and you would sing all the lyrics and dance. And it was, and you were like all about this Beyonce sexual and woman empowerment. And I remember just cheering me up so much and changing my day and my
Queen
mood. So we're
B,
going to do
dude,
that.
Queen yeah. B.
Well, Queen April too. So
I had a fight with someone once about why Beyonce is so amazing.
What, they didn't think she was
amazing? They didn't think she was amazing. And I was like, you cannot say that to me. And everyone's entitled to their opinion, but I was like, I just don't want to hear this opinion because I disagree and you will not change my opinion.
She's pretty incredible.
She's amazing.
She did make...
Have you watched that on Disney? There's this, I should look at the actual title. It's they released it on Disney, but oh my God, the outfits in it are incredible. I think she has like 35 outfit changes, but each dress is
a homecoming.
So it's not homecoming. No,
oh,
it's
Netflix.
It's called Black is King.
Ooh.
Oh my God. It is incredible. And there it's like the Lion King, but this Beyonce version, because it has all of this amazing costumery, and the music is all written by her. It's incredible. And if anybody out there likes Beyonce, check it out. If you don't like Beyonce but just love fashion, check it out.
Yeah.
And if you just like Disney, check it out.
And if anyone's going through a heartbreak, your heart is hurting, or you're lonely, call your friend and be like, hey, can we just put on some fun music and dance and sing and be silly? And if you have a friend like April, then you're really stoked because she will cheer you up. Just turn that frown upside down.
It's true.
Sometimes this is a frowny time. Okay, so we're going to do a sex question. We have a bio. We have Dr. Nan Weiss. Once again, she's been on our podcast. What, this is like the fourth or fifth time?
She's like our licensed PhD neuroscientist, doctor extraordinaire, because she's incredible.
Yeah. She decided she's part of the podcast.
She is. And when I read her bio later, you'll hear all of her credentials and also how much exposure and how much just clout she has in mainstream media. Yeah. But she also is a huge, just amazing human and hugely trusting of information, because she comes from the scientific but also meeting
as
psychotherapy.
She's
really cool.
She's very relatable. And then her partner John, her husband of many years, what, 30 years or something, right? He's also on this episode with her, and then we were talking
since
82
38 years, because I'm 38.
Damn.
Yep.
Oh, just dated ourselves. So she's answering sex questions about a number of things. One is about low sex drive, desire discrepancy, friends with benefit situations when it's not feeling good, and also cuckolding. What the hell is cuckolding?
And hot wifing.
Hot wifing.
I got carded the other day for buying, not a hot wifing porn, no.
Huh?
A lighter at Walgreens. They were like, because I was trying to buy a lighter to light my candles and at home, because like a long lighter. And I was like, how old do you need to be to buy a lighter? She's like, 18. I was like, do you really think I'm 18 right now? 17? And so I showed her and she's like, yeah, you're fine. I was like, thanks. I think I was fine 20 years ago too. But FYI, you get carded for buying a lighter.
You don't act a day over 17.
So we may have dated ourselves saying we're 38 and 35.
Oh, I also did just find my first gray hair, white or gray, I can't tell.
Congratulations. I'm going to put that in the anniversary calendar.
We have April's
anniversary,
her yeast anniversary for first yeast infection, Amy's white hair anniversary. What else? Oh, I have a weird spot that is just appearing on my face. I am officially turning 36
I
soon.
Really don't want to end up like the people that start talking about their bunions in a conversation.
Okay, anyways, let's go to a sex question about anal sex. This sex question is by a lovely listener, and they are asking about anal sex, specifically fingers, but here we go. I love when my wife puts a finger in my butt while having sex. At first, she was extremely reluctant to even come close to my butt, but it has truly changed our sex lives. I want to do the same for her and play with her butt during sex. For example, while in doggy style position, it's so hot because I can see it all and I want to tickle her nether regions and maybe put a finger in. But every time I come close, she seems reluctant. What tips do you have for this?
I have some tips because I just did this.
What you got?
Last night and this morning.
Oh.
For real.
Fingers or what?
Fingers,
and
then
bum?
A cock
in your bum.
Yeah.
And what? So what's up?
So obviously lube, and make sure your fingers are nice,
Uber
and
lube.
Trimmed up. Uber lube is always what I use. And again, I'm almost out. I'm like, every time I grab a bottle,
I think I have a bottle under my bed.
Yeah, I need some. So making sure your fingers are nice and trimmed, because even if you have a little bit of, you can kind of scratch and can kind of hurt. So even if you have well manicured, smooth nails, just make sure those are nice and smoother than you'd even think, because it's a sensitive zone. Also, you can start with a smaller finger, like your pinky, because just going full on with a larger finger, a thumb or an index or middle, can be a little intense. So a pinky, and then you can add two, but always start smaller. And we've talked about this in our anal episodes. And I just think that relaxing at the same time with some, obviously we think she, so vulva owner, relaxing either with a vibrator on the external bits, and then
On the anus or in the
vulva? On the vulva,
yeah.
So on your like clitoris, labia.
Ooh, yeah, that feels good.
So then it feels good. So then when the fingers are going in now, and then you can actually have some cock play at the same time, or dildo, or whatever that looks like, and you start to just really relax. You just need to check in with them and make sure that there's a lot of relaxing going on. And then if that is all going well, it might be a little intense, but you can actually insert a cock in after some time of relaxation and playing. It is time, and the slower than slow.
And lube.
And
go slower than slow and slower
a
than
lot
that.
Of lube. And even when you think you have enough lube.
Add more lube. Does not lubricate itself. And then, yeah, I think those are really great tips. And the other piece I would like to add to that is, don't just shove your finger in. Like, don't even, just let the finger, maybe starting with your pointer finger or your middle finger or something, well lubed, rest against the anus. So against that kind of like puckered part that's closed, and you'll lightly press in, but not pressing hard. Don't shove it in. And as you lightly press in, and I like what April said, I like what you said about having a vibrate or something on the clit too, especially if they're super aroused, it'll go in. It'll just like, the body will take it in. But even without the vibrator, the body will slowly take it in and just take your time. It might take a couple minutes. And I think one of the issues is that people rush it. They see it in porn. There's like, oh, the dick just got shoved in. It's my dick or my finger
that
or my...
hurt.
Yeah, no, that does not feel good. So do not learn from porn. The other thing I wanted to add to this is talk to her about it. I don't know if you've had conversations about this. You have this desire. You see your nether regions. You want to put a finger in her bum. Maybe have a conversation before you even try it. Say, I love when you touch my ass. And then when we're in doggy style position, I'm looking at your ass. It looks so good. I really want to kind of play with your ass. But I'm also kind of, maybe this is a projection, but reading that maybe you're a little reluctant here. Are you interested in exploring this? And if we do, here's what I've learned about that we can try to make it more pleasurable, comfortable, adding lube, going slow. If anything doesn't feel good, let me know. And we're going to take our time. We're not going to rush anything.
I have one other thing to add, because this is, I feel like, how I play a lot of times, because it is really hot and I get turned on and I orgasm almost all the time. Having your partner actually insert her own fingers into her butt, like one or two,
ooh,
as she's being penetrated.
So kind of relax it?
It relaxes the endings, and then she can go at her own pace and kind of just, so especially if you're penetrating from like legs are kind of up, legs are on your body. And so she can kind of reach around and put a finger into her bum, like either wet it with some saliva, your own saliva, or some lube, and then stick a finger in. That can be really hot as well. And it feels good. And then you can be like, how many fingers you have in there? One, put two.
85.
Now get five.
Where
now
did you get all those fingers?
Where did they come from? But that can really help. Or also, and also, not at the same time though, prep the bum with a butt plug, like a small butt plug.
Oh, I love butt plugs.
Go get the booty plug from Fun Factory. Go get it at purepleasureshop.com. And it's a very, very easy beginner plug.
Yeah.
If she's never had anything in her butt before, you put lube on that and angle it upwards so the curve faces up, and then it can prep, and then you can slowly pull it out and then have a finger in there, and she'll already be sort of relaxed around that.
That's a BOOTIE. Go to purepleasureshop.com, use coupon code shamelesssex, you get 15% off of all of your sex toys, including some of our favorite butt plugs.
I feel like this question was written
by you, for you?
For me, because I'm like, I have a lot of tips, because I do. I live this journey often, and I have a lot of fun. And some days, I will say, just lastly, some days are not anal days for me. I'll be like, it's a no-fly zone.
Gassy days,
or just sometimes it just doesn't feel,
yeah,
it hurts a little
like,
bit.
No.
Yeah, and I'm like, no, and as soon as I feel the level of like it, because it's uncomfortable, but if I feel it go to a level of like a tingy pain, I'll just say nope. Yeah. Let's focus on other things right now. Because even if I spend time
to your
relaxing,
body.
You have to. So there might be times where she says, I don't know.
Yeah.
And there might be times where it feels like really easy. So.
I have the same thing where there's some days where my butt is a miracle and it just opens up and relaxes so quickly. It's phenomenal. And then there's some days where my butt's like, yeah, we start having some sort of anal play of some sort. And then after a couple months, I'm like, yeah, I want to switch to vaginal sex. So then we have to go have a shower and all that stuff too. But you know, so don't ever go from ass to vag. It's not
non-vag friendly. I do a wipe off with them.
What if it's on the finger or the cock? Did you just do a wipe off on the cock?
Yeah.
Oh my God. I wash that. I'm like, I get yeast infections really easily though.
Yeah. Only had the one.
You only had one.
You have it in your calendar.
I probably had like 50, so.
Are you ready for the bio?
It's bio time.
It's bio. So this is Dr. Nan Weiss, PhD. She's a cognitive neuroscientist, professor, licensed psychotherapist, certified sex therapist, board certified clinical hypnotherapist, and certified relationship specialist. After almost 20 years in clinical practice, she became driven to understand how the brain creates moods and behaviors in relation to sex and other aspects of human experience. Having returned to academia to pursue a PhD in cognitive neuroscience, she is now a cognitive neuroscience researcher at Rutgers University in Newark. She is the author of the book Why Good Sex Matters and has contributed her expert opinion to outlets such as National Geographic, The Atlantic, Time, Glamour, Women's Health Magazine, The Washington Post, HuffPost, Romper, and Bustle. To learn more, visit Ask Dr. Nan, and that's ASKDOCTORNAN.com. But first,
Dipsy is an audio app full of short, sexy stories designed to turn you on no matter what you're into. They release new stories every week, so there's always more to explore. And now, Dipsy even has wellness sessions with erotic exercises to help you explore sensation play or self-touch. I love recommending Dipsy to my clients and friends because it's one app that offers everything from how-tos to erotic fantasy stories to meditation. It's everything you need to help balance the busy mind and body.
And Dipsy is the perfect gift to give yourself or someone you love this year. You know what's great after a long day of Zoom calls and screen time? The Dipsy app. Like Amy said, this one app gives you everything you need for self-care, self-love, and some self-pleasure. And right now, Dipsy is offering our listeners a 30-day free trial when you go to dipsystories.com/shameless. That's a 30-day free trial when you go to dipseastories.com/shameless. Again, dipsystories.com/shameless. This podcast was also made possible by Like a Kitten. After hours with the in-laws, kids, and other family members, you and your special someone deserve some much-needed alone time. Like a Kitten's Naughty or Nice box is the perfect gift box to spice up your holiday season. The Naughty or Nice box is beautifully yet discreetly packaged with all kinds of goodies, making it the perfect gift item for yourself or your lover. Spend your evenings licking delicious buttered rum lube off your partner, or light the massage candle and drip that oil all over your lover. Or explore some dominance and submission with the satin binding ties and mini whip. Plus, there's so much more.
Give yourself a sexy staycation this year. You deserve it. And right now, Like a Kitten is offering our listeners 20% off and free shipping when you go to likeakitten.com/shameless or enter code shameless at checkout. Just go to likeakitten.com/shameless or use promo code shameless to get 20% off. likeakitten.com/shameless. And now it's interview time. All right, everyone, it is episode time, and we are with repeat guests, Dr. Nan and the lovely John. John has only been on our show once. Nan has been, this is her fourth time, fifth time?
Something like that.
Yeah. You've answered sex questions for our listeners. You've talked about your book. I know that you've written multiple books, so you have a lot of offerings, but we love you. We decided you're part of the Shameless Sex family, and we will always have you back many times because we love the wisdom that you share. And for our listeners, we're answering everything from different sex drives between couples to cuckolding. What's cuckolding? Or even hot wifing? Ooh. So we will dive into that. But before we do, we will start with the same question that we always ask. Can you please tell us a little bit about yourselves, how you got into the field of sexuality, your partnership, your relationship, your lovership, etc.?
My lovership. Well, I'm here with my lover and my husband, John. Well, he and I met when we were teenagers. And we were each other's first lovers, but not our last. But actually, we really have a wonderful relationship. I was a psychotherapist, and then I went on to become a sex therapist. And from there, I became a neuroscientist because I was always fascinated with the brain and behavior. And sexuality to me is such an important way of looking at our relationship with pleasure and how we can have a good time and how our relationships can work. So basically, another thing that would be important to know is that I'm an anxiety sufferer. So my book, Why Good Sex Matters, Understanding the Neuroscience of Pleasure for a Smarter, Happier, More Purpose-Filled Life, has been about finding the importance of pleasure from the scientific standpoint and why it's not a luxury, it's a necessity. And sex is a big place for pleasure. And this is my husband, John.
Hi, I'm John. I've been an attorney for 33 years. I've been with Nan since we were 18 years old.
17,
excuse me. We're married, 38 years?
Probably, yeah.
You got married in 82. That's how old I am.
81.
81.
Oh, we got married 81. Before. We could have been your parents.
39 years. You've been married for 39
years. 39 years.
Thank you.
Wow.
Okay.
We've had lots of adventures together. We have two wonderful children together. And I am very proud that Nan has become an international figure in the field of sexuality and relationship. It's really a wonderful thing to see her book do so well, and her practice grow by leaps and bounds.
I love that. I just think of April and I and a lot of the relationships that we've been in where we've had partners in the past that were threatened by the fact that we worked in sexuality, not naming any names. But and even when they were down, eventually at some point, there was something about it I think was triggering, you know, us, especially now we have a podcast and we're on the air and we're like anal sex and things like that. And I love when partners are super supportive of that. And I'm again, to anyone that's listening, if you are one of the partners, I'm not talking specifically about you, okay, but maybe I am. And but I just love when people show up with support. I've experienced, yeah, I mean, I've had partners in the past who were like, oh, it's so beautiful what you do, it's so exciting. And then when they hear, when they actually get involved in what it takes,
it becomes more threatening.
It's threatening. It's, mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a lot. So I think we can, well, I'm sure that will come up a little bit more here in the podcast about how partners can support each other because there are some sex questions about that. So I love you both. And you too, I know, have been through challenges, right? You've been through, it hasn't been all sunshine and rainbows in this 33 years of love and partnership.
We talked about this with you all on the last show, which was a few months ago. I don't know the number right now. I can look. And you did give us a little synopsis of some of the experiences that you had, challenges and experiences that you had endured.
And how you communicated
and overcame as a couple. Yeah. So if anyone's interested in hearing more about that, I'm sure you can. Dr. Nan's been on three different times now, right?
Four, five, six, I don't know.
You're a resident psychotherapist and sexuality extraordinaire.
Therapist, yeah. Well, you know, everybody encounters challenges along the way. Life is trauma. It's catastrophe. If it's not one thing, it's something else. It's health challenges, financial challenges. Look at the world that we're living in. It's challenging. So we need tools. We need tools to be able to navigate our own issues as people, to calm our nervous systems, which I write about in the book, and also to have good communication. Because if you have good communication and if you support the growth of your partner rather than the status quo of the relationship, everything's possible.
I love that statement. I love that part. And then everyone benefits too, right? If everyone's really, really supporting each other in their growth, then it funnels and fuels into the relationship. It's like this infinite cycle there that is endless. So there's a lot of potential. So I love that you stated that. So yeah, I want to normalize that too, that the challenges are very, very normal. And April and I have been through it as well. So let's dive into some of the questions.
All right.
Yay.
So the first one is about low sex drive and desire discrepancy. We get this a lot. So this is one sex question that probably a million people have asked us. Okay, that's an over-exaggeration. But we get this a lot because it is very common for people to get into relationships where maybe in the beginning they all have the same sex drive, and then later on that changes. One person wants more sex, one person wants less sex, etc. So from this human, I am a 45-year-old male with my wife of 16 years who is 43. Although we do have sex, it always seems like I'm the one who has to initiate, and she doesn't always seem to be into it. Like she only does it so I don't get mad. I don't get mad. I get frustrated. What are some things I can do to get her in the mood more? She's a full-time nursing student and works part-time. I work full-time and take care of our two daughters. I'm horny 100% of the time, and she's only horny 5% of the time. Please help any way possible. What do we do?
Well, this is probably the number one issue that couples come in to sex therapy about, is the desire discrepancy. And generally, but not always, it's the lower desire or the lower active sexual desire of the female. So it's important to know that in general, males and females are a little bit different when it comes to their sex drives. Most men, most of the time, and this is in my book in chapter 8, looking at the sexual brain, most men, most of the time, have access to their active desire. They're horny. They're thinking about sex. It's on their mind. Why? Because their brains have all of these places for the sex hormones to dock. This happens in the development of the brain. It's different with men and women. So men have more access to their active sexual desire. And for women, not so much. So we need to understand that it's normal for women, or certainly not unusual for women, to lose their active sexual desire in long-term relationships, particularly when they're working so hard in the house and outside of the house. So this woman is a nursing student. She has two little kids. She's probably working very hard. So her access to her active sexual desire, not so available. So if you understand it, you don't make it wrong, and you figure out, the guy asked a really good question, how do I help her? That's the best question. And I think to bring that up, to talk about it, underneath the active desire is what's the receptive desire, which you can jumpstart, and you can jumpstart it by, the man can be very seductive. He can really hold a lot of space for her and her feelings. He can be actually helpful. And when she understands that if you jumpstart arousal, like I said, get out the vibrator and get the party started.
Woo!
Woo! And you know, it's also funny, the more sex women have, the more they want. So women, when they haven't had sex for a while, can go into like what I call like a sexual hibernation, where men, they go a week and they're feeling like they need to release. So there's some real sex differences that may impact this, as well as individual differences.
Wait, can I ask a question about that? Or maybe April have one too. The more sex that women have, the more they want. Can I say the more connected, really good sex where they're having a lot of pleasure sex they have that they want, right? Because a lot of women are having a lot of humans and women are having compliant sex where, like, you know, yeah, it's a job. And you, like this person said, she's just doing it so I don't get mad. So the more of that kind of sex you have, that doesn't really make you want it, right? It's when it's like, oh, I'm getting a lot of orgasms and pleasure. Yeah, of course I'm going to want it more.
That's a great point, Amy, that I stand not just corrected, but that's actually the point, is also when you realize that sex for both men and women, actually having sex raises your testosterone levels. So if it's not pleasant sex and you're not enjoying it, it's not going to help, even if you get a bump up in testosterone, because the bump down and feeling used or abused by your partner is not going to help. Mm-hmm. So it's really about accessing your pleasure and feeling good and having a good time with your partner that's very reinforcing.
there also could be, and Dr. Nan, you can maybe attest to this, or I guess dive into the hormonal factors that also could be playing a role. This person, the wife is 43, and obviously your hormones fluctuate. I mean, my sex that I was having at 28 is so different than when I was 38, which I am now. And I think I was on birth control then, and even IUDs can have an effect. And I don't know if this human is on any sort of hormonal contraceptive, but it would seem like that could play a role. And so maybe tuning into that and asking a doctor, but what do you think?
April, you're on target there too, big time. So if you're on like a oral contraceptive that will dampen your sex drive, I will tell you one thing that will dampen your sex drive, which is chemical, which is stress. Mm-hmm. Stress that most people are under, in particular, women that work so hard in and out of the house, will basically hijack the dopamine that would be used for like fun into like the manufacturing of stress hormones. That doesn't do a thing for your sex drive. And the other thing is having kids, as much as I love having children and grandchildren, I will tell you, young parents in particular find that the caretaking that you have to do will actually affect your ability to experience a sex drive, because it basically blocks your sex drive, the care hormones. When you can think about it, it makes sense evolutionarily. Focus on care, not having sex.
Of course, it makes way more sense.
Yeah. So we need to understand the chemistry. And when we understand the chemistry and we can work together to jumpstart the party, we all have more fun.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be also translated over to men that have lower sex drives, right? Because your testosterone, it decreases as you age, which can lower your ability to get turned on, or have like the receptors in your brain probably just aren't responding like they used to. And I don't know if John's ever gone through anything like that. I'm not trying to put you on the spot.
John, you don't have to.
Please do.
I love being on the spot. I've experienced change in my sexual being from the time that I was 28 to the time that I'm 63 now. Great changes and a greater development of my own conception of what sexuality can be. So I'm a much better lover at 63 than I think I was at 28.
And that's incredible. There's hope. So what are the options out there for folks besides listening to this podcast, which is the first step, and asking questions that would help this? I mean, so if people are experiencing this and it is hormonal, or it is
nature versus nurture.
Yeah, it's psychological. Yeah. Then I think it's a conversation and maybe a blood panel at a doctor's office to see what your hormones are doing, and then inject some testosterone. I'm just kidding.
Well, you know what's so funny about testosterone? It's got very mixed results in terms of using it for sexual desire, and also very conflicting results about your levels of testosterone. So it's really not so much about the fluctuating levels of testosterone, I think, but what comes along with aging. Generally speaking, when people are aging, they're in long-term relationships, and okay, it's not all that exciting. I love him to bits, but you know, we don't have new relationship energy. And that is an artificial bump up of our sexual desire. Artificial, not so much, but it is a temporary bump up. So when you first meet somebody and it's exciting, you don't know how it's going to go, it's unpredictable. There's this flooding of these chemicals in the brain that are like speed. And you want sex. So I think the real art is learning how to navigate your own rise and fall of the new relationship energy. And I talk a lot about the desire curve in my book and how it's different with men and women. Men have the higher levels of active desire. And if a man is healthy, he at 60 something might not have hard-ons as voraciously and frequently as he did as a younger man, but he still enjoys sex, and you know, he still functions. For women, Because active desire is elusive. We have higher active desire in new relationship. We have higher active desire at the peak of ovulation. And sometimes for some women, when the hormones are fluctuating before they get their periods. So for women, the access to the responsive desire is something that we need to pay attention to. If men and women could understand how the desire curve works and not freak out, and certainly husbands that whine, whining is not wooing, not saying, you used to jump my bones all the time and now you're not initiating sex. That's not attractive. That's not seductive. That's not taking into consideration the other factors, the relational factors, the social factors, the work-life balance factors that women have to contend with. Not to say it's such a party to be a man either, but we need to understand that the way we live with the kind of stress that we're experiencing even before COVID, because this was going on prior to COVID. We had this sexual recession and we had an explosion of mood disorders, depression, and anxiety, which is why I wrote the book. So this has been going on, has to do with our lifestyles are not conducive to being balanced and healthy and present to each other and our bodies and having a good time.
It seems like these folks that are in this, the person that asked this question, it would be good for them to, and it sucks to say it, but schedule this kind of intimacy, sexy night where sex doesn't have to be the goal. Obviously, it sounds like he would want it to be.
Don't make it the goal.
Don't make it the goal. But they're going to have to, because there's so much busyness, they're going to have to schedule some time. And regardless of the other factors, the external factors that could be affecting this sex drive of the person that is the 43-year-old nurse, that she's going to have to agree to that, right? Or choose to, whether or not she just like, I don't want to fuck you anymore. And he's going to be like, damn it.
Well, if you also knew that the scheduled time wasn't pressure for it to be one thing, right? I think that's something that's common as well. And I'm sure you see this plenty, Dr. Nan, with the people that you work with, is that once sex becomes one thing, I always has to have penetration, always has to end in orgasm, and that there's no in-betweens, then there's the pressure there. And if the person that has less desire feels like it always has to go this one way, they might pull away when there's this invitation for, hey, let's schedule this creativity night, more day.
It's going to be fun.
Yeah, for fun. Yeah. Just check in and see what's available
Take
in that
the job
moment.
Out of it. Yeah.
And maybe it's not penetration. See what happens and check in each moment along the way for the hour or 2 hours. Then you might find that people feel more free, more open, more receptive.
Exactly. It really requires that we expand our idea of what sex is into playful, erotic. Like when we talk about the wired-in systems in the brain mind that we share with animals, if you get some care going with some seeking, which is the dopamine system, and you get some play going, it's like being in the sandbox. What feels good? What's fun? Not about genitals or orgasms or friction. It's really about pleasure. So in the book, I give people exercises about how to do these. Masters and Johnson had these sensate focus exercises where you get it away from being goal-directed and just into sensation. And I write about it. I also write in my book about how you can amp up the volume of your erotic sensations, taking a lesson from my participants who just thought about pleasurable genital stimulation and had their brains explode. So if you can pay attention to sensations and you can focus on them, then those sensations kind of start taking you somewhere and then you can follow them. So it's really getting out of your head into your body, as it were.
Yes, I really like that advice. So
we
could all use some of that as a heady human myself. It takes a little bit of a shift, and we hope that you find it, you and your partner find this writer of the question some sexy time, and your 100% horny self gets fulfilled, and you have some progress there, because that's tough. So you can always wank your
I have
work
one
day.
Thing
oh, sorry.
To add to that.
Yeah.
One of the things I talk a lot about in the book is having these safe sessions to talk about the difficult things like differences in sex drive. what we find about people who have sexual potential, lifelong sexual potential, which is my chapter 9, they have difficult conversations. They penetrate each other. And if you have a tool where you can have the most difficult conversations in a safe way and really listen to yourself and each other, magic can happen.
Mm, very true. Also, for the guy, it's okay to worship your woman.
Oh my God, more than okay? Please do.
It's okay to get down on your knees again and tell her why you love her and appreciate her. And why you absolutely live for her. It's okay to light a fucking candle once in a while.
Seduce her.
Even if you know
her. Turn on the bath.
People do that. I know you so well, so I'm going to stop getting curious and creative. What I'm hearing you say, John, is like, it's okay to be romantic and creative and to be vulnerable and to share why your heart just desires this person or cares, or your penis, wang, I almost said wang, but all of the above.
And she's a new person, like you always say.
That's right.
She's developing. She's changing. She's a new person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's going to nursing school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She's a mother, and she's your wife, and she's your lover, and she's your best friend, and she's your companion. Treat her the way you would treat the most special person in your life.
Mm. Oh, my God. That. Can I just say that my pussy started throbbing a little bit when you said
Yes.
Nice. Yes. I heard the word worship your woman. I'm like,
Just take it back to exploring who she is now. She's not the same woman you married.
Yep.
She's new. And that's exciting.
Mm-hmm. She's changing every day.
And that's what's exciting about relationships. It can be an opportunity to shift and think outside of the proverbial box that we all live in with the structures of traditional confines of relationships, right? We're not designed to be monogamous humans, and we choose to be in these monogamous relationships, and then we get bored, and then we're like, what do we do about this? And maybe you never liked the way that your partner licked your pussy, or maybe you didn't like the way that the missionary style went down. So change it, shift, and open up and talk about it. And that will, I think it's been successful for you too, right? You've learned how to communicate with each other, your needs and your values and your sexual responses to each other. And that seems to be a success story for 39 years.
It's absolutely, all the things you just mentioned are absolutely essentials to being together this long.
Yeah. And not just being together, but like reinventing ourselves so that we are not like just having the same old relationship. Well, you can't have the same old relationship. You outgrow it. Mm-hmm. So you got to grow and lift and take risks.
Okay, time for a quick break. This podcast was made possible by Uberlube. It's a luxurious silicone lubricant that enhances sex and intimacy. We receive emails from listeners who have tried Uberlube, and the feedback is unanimous. We never knew lube could be this good. It's also less likely to throw off the pH than most other lubes, and there are thousands of doctors recommending Uberlube to their patients, whether they want to make their hot sex even hotter or for folks experiencing dryness.
Uberlube is without a doubt my favorite lube. It has no flavor, no scent, and feels absolutely amazing on my body. And it isn't just for sex. I use it to tame my hair frizzies, to prevent chafing, and I even put some in my mouth before an oral sex session. Totally ups my blowjob game. Oh, and the bottle, it's beautiful. It looks like a cosmetic product. So I just leave it out on my nightstand totally shamelessly. To learn why we think it's the best lube on the planet, check out uberlube.com and use code SHAMELESSSEX for 10% off plus free shipping. Again, that's uberlube.com and use code SHAMELESSSEX for 10% off and free shipping.
This podcast was also made possible by omgs.com. OMGS is a research-based online program that teaches you all about how to pleasure the pussy. OMGS studied thousands of vulva owners to find out how they orgasm and then made beautiful animated modules and super honest short videos to give you ways to reach even more pleasure.
I've been recommending OMGS to my clients for years, and it's been changing their lives.
We all know pleasure is fluid and ever-changing, so why not add more tools to your pleasure tool belt? OMGS is for everyone, so whether you are a vulva owner or you just love vulvas, OMGS will give you the techniques to get your O-face on. There are two seasons to choose from and hundreds of gorgeous videos to explore, so go see what science says about pleasure and visit omgs.com/shameless. That's omgs.com/shameless to get $5 off your OMGS access. Again, omgs.com/shameless. Go check it out. Now back to the show. All right. Well, thank you for that. I think it's a great bit of advice, a couple of things to do there. We're going to shift gears a little bit and answer another sex question. I feel like this was written by me when I was 18 because I totally have experienced this before. And I think some folks out there will resonate with this as well. So this is titled Selfish Sex. I am a vulva owner and I keep finding myself having sex with men who don't care about my pleasure. I'm in a friends with benefits situation, and after he orgasms, there was no attempt to finish me off. Little to no foreplay. We have a job to do. Three pump chump. He claims he never had the problem before. It's me. I'm too tight. One time after he orgasmed, he got up and left me laying with my vibrator as he left the room. I've also expressed that if premature ejaculation is a problem, then maybe we need to focus on me first. He claims he'd like to like sex 5 times a week, but we see each other 2 or 3 times a week and he doesn't initiate it. So I feel like sex drive also has to do with it. How do you know when it is time to cut the strings in a relationship for lack of sexual compatibility?
I think you have something you want to say about that, honey.
There are so many things that jump out to me. The first thing is I feel such compassion for this woman.
Yeah.
She finds herself over and over with men who don't care. How sad, how awful, how demoralizing for her. And to be with a man who reminds her of this pattern and who really doesn't initiate contact with her. There were 7 or 8 different things that indicated to me that this might be something she wants to consider terminating. Two things. I want her to listen to 2 songs. Respect by Aretha Franklin.
Ooh,
what she should demand of her partners.
Yes.
And also by the Staple Singers, Respect Yourself.
Oh.
Love I don't know the chorus to that one, but
Respect Yourself.
Is that it?
Yep.
Hey, is that it?
I don't know. John will know better than I will.
Yes.
Oh, good.
I mean, I love that.
And I think about that this particular woman is not alone. There's so many women who are faced with selfish lovers. Why do you think we have this orgasm gap that we have where men get off and women don't? And we're also not educating men properly. You know, I think when you think about it, there's some kind of deficit for these men that don't know how to pay attention, that don't know how to partner with another person for pleasure and reciprocity. And I wonder, you know, if you look at what's happening with young people with the sexual recession, how people are so being raised with devices instead of really connecting, I think it's kind of a lack of social sexual intelligence that creates these people that don't know how to play with others. So we need to socialize people to be able to recognize the importance of being able to have reciprocal relationships, whether it's friends with benefits or whether it's romantic partnerships. What I would say to this person, if I was talking to her, is like, if this is just a friends with benefit arrangement, you need some more benefits.
Yeah, you do.
Or better friends. Yeah. I mean, it sounds like it's, you know, if you're in a long-term relationship with somebody where there's a lot at risk, you know, a lot at stake, I guess is the word. This is a friends with benefit. She's seeing him a couple times a week. I think she'd be better off finding somebody a new friend with better benefits.
I would say the song that comes to mind for me is Beyonce's "Tell 'Em Boy Bye." Tell 'Em Boy Bye. Okay. Middle fingers up. Yeah. Bye.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And we have to think that we're not just objects. You know, women get trained to think that we're sexual objects as opposed to people. So it's not really about people desiring us. It's people about celebrating and recreating with us and making sure that we're satisfied in the long run.
Yeah. She should just go get a robot doll. That's what I think.
Well, okay. Well, here's the other thing is because she's saying, when do you know, when do you part, when you're like, okay, this just isn't compatible. I'm not even thinking it's compatibility. I think it's a lack of education or knowledge or consideration or respect, as John said, on the other person's part, whether they, but also I know a lot of people are educated about sex from porn. Porn shows male pleasure and like thrust, pump, 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 and that's it, right? And not a whole bunch of like, let's go really slow and soft and take time and talk and connect. They don't show that. So in the penis owner's defense, maybe this is where this person learned how to have sex. Now, if she is going up to him and saying, hey, in order for us to continue this, I need more. Are you willing to work with me? And he's like, nah, this is just how I am, or there's something wrong with you. Goodbye. Yeah. But if that's the case, I would say, yeah, respect and goodbye. And if she needs to be to state that, it sounds like she kind of has. And two, if she states that and he says he's willing to work with her, then there's work to do where he could learn, or they could learn together. And part of it will be her work too, to not have compliant sex, to speak her needs and her boundaries, but for him to also learn to be a better, more present giver, learn new skills, learn how to slow down, re-educate himself beyond what he sees on Pornhub. And to show up in that way. So part of it is like the system is all messed up.
Yes, exactly.
But some people are just like people who say, this is just how I am. I'm sorry if you're listening. I would like to give you a hug and tell you that's not true. That is a lie. Mm-hmm. And you've been fed a big, big lie, because we are all so malleable and we can constantly learn and change. We just have to be open to it.
I think it's a cop-out when people don't really want to take responsibility for what they're creating. On a related but sort of different note, I saw something about Pornhub doing some sex education.
They are.
I followed that up. Did you take a look at this?
Yeah, we, with Hot Octopus, the vibrator company that is mostly focused on penis toys, there's a sexual wellness section, and we have been working with them a bit, and it's interesting because I was like, wow, I would not go to Pornhub for my sex ed. However, I'm very proud of Pornhub. They also changed their backdrop to white, so they're like getting all like a little bit less like dark and more sort of relatable, and they want to offer things in sex education. So yes, you're right. You're right, Dr. Nan. It's specific to Pornhub as well.
So my question is, if Pornhub can learn, why can't this guy learn?
Yeah.
Something different.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, women tend to get another factor is women get attached when they have sex more so than men. And so when you have sex with somebody on a regular basis, you're going to end up feeling emotionally attached to somebody who really doesn't show a whole lot in this instance, care about your satisfaction and your well-being. So I think it's something that we need to learn how to operate for people who tend toward feeling very emotionally attached when they start having regular sex with somebody. It's something to think about.
Yeah. The other option is just to continue to use your vibrator if you really want this person to obviously
like stand there in the corner. Yeah. I'm using my vibrator, and then when I have my orgasm, I'm ready for you to pleasure me or fuck me or whatever.
I'll call you in. I'll ring a bell.
Hello. Yes. Come serve me now.
Serve me.
All right. You've been dismissed. Yeah.
She can develop some more assertiveness with this guy. And if he doesn't want to play this new, more interesting game, you find some other friends.
Yeah. I like pitching it as a game. That's a good idea. Maybe. Like a challenge. Like I invite you to change the way. No, not change. I invite you to this game to play with me. Do you want to play
this new game? And there's plenty of other people that want to play that game with you, listeners.
Exactly. You know the difference between infinite and finite games? Infinite games you can keep reinventing. And I think a sustainable kind of long-term relationship is an infinite game. You keep changing it up and you keep wanting to hit the ball back and forth. And if this guy's not willing to take her kind invitation to step up the game to something more satisfying for her, then it's time for her to say, check, please. That's my answer to that.
Yeah,
I like it. Goodbye.
And I'll say that the roles can be reversed, right? I have also heard a similar thing too of, you know, penis owners, speaking specifically heterosexual relationships, penis owners who are in relationships with partners who are down to receive pleasure for themselves, but they're not really interested in pleasuring their partner. So this doesn't always happen just this one way. But if you find yourself in this situation, there are things you can do. First, talk about it. Boundaries, stand up for yourself. And if that doesn't work out, R-E-S-P-E-C-T, as John said, and goodbye.
And go find a slow hand man. Is there a Clapton song?
Oh my God. A lot of good playlists coming up.
We should make our own playlist.
We should. This is for your sexual empowerment play in it.
Yeah, baby.
So, okay, speaking of sexual empowerment, let's talk about cuckolding. Okay, well, first of all, so I'm going to ask you this question, and then maybe you can talk about what cuckolding is, because we've had this question multiple times, and I don't know if we've ever done a podcast on it. We could probably do like 5 episodes on this. So this question says, my partner, who's relatively conservative and vanilla, admitted to the idea of other men wanting me and being with me really makes him hot. He doesn't want to be included or watch. Actually, so wait, cuckolding is when they watch, right? Okay, anyways. He doesn't want to be included or watch simply to know that other men pursue and sleep with me. Please tell me, is this normal?
From an evolutionary perspective, absolutely. The idea of having sex in separate places is a relatively new phenomenon. When you think about like communal sex in communities going way, way back, people didn't have separate bedrooms and separate. People heard sex, they saw sex. And actually, seeing and hearing sex is kind of socially facilitating for some. Now, the idea of wanting to see your partner, your female partner, have sex with another man, actually, what we've seen from science, it actually increases the testosterone in the semen and everything. It's facilitating. I think John has some actual things to add to this, wouldn't you, honey?
Well, sure. First of all, if this guy thinks he's conservative and vanilla, he's sadly mistaken. He's kinky as fuck.
In that way. We all get to be kinky in our own way. But it's not an...
This couple would really benefit from a good conversation with Nan, because limits and boundaries, agreements in this area are so important. And from a male's perspective, he should be foremost about what is safe for her physically and emotionally. That would be a primary concern for me as a man if I was to pursue something like that. Mm-hmm.
It's a turn on to hear and see sex and to see your partner being desired. There's competition in sexuality. You know, when you think about in nature, you know, we're basically competing. The men and women are also competing to be the winners of the evolutionary contest of being the one who lands the sperm and has the baby and all of that. So I think it's not an unusual fantasy. I think you can take fantasies into reality if you just are careful about what you wish for, because a lot of times people...
Full of care.
Yeah. Okay. And you realize that if you talk about it and you figure out a way where this could work, and it could work where you have... You're really connected with each other first and foremost. And then if either one of you is having a problem, you just go, oh, this isn't working so well. Mm-hmm. So anybody who strays off of the regular route or the path of vanilla monogamy without any sex involvement of other people, they just need to be mindful about what could work, how you could work together, how you would know it's working, and what to do if you either one of you is having strong feelings. Because my experience is that when push comes to shove, what people can think of as being erotic sometimes can be threatening. And sometimes people, what they think is going to be threatening ends up being erotic. Mm. So you have to really just be mindful that experience is maybe a little bit different than what you expect.
And sometimes we get the, have the things that are a fantasy and they're just designed to be fantasy. Or if we want to explore it, maybe just take baby steps first. Like maybe don't be like, go fuck that other person and come back to me. Maybe like, how about you just go on a date with someone and you just flirt with them and start with that. And then we can check in and see how that feels. And if you want to start to dip your toes in a little bit.
Yeah. And if you enroll people who are good people, who are mindful, you know, we can all take lessons from people who do non-vanilla sex, whether it's BDSM or swinging. When they do it consciously, they do it by agreement, they do it, there's a lot of communication and trust.
Safe, sane, and consensual.
Thank you, honey. That's it. But, you know, you can basically, you know, create all sorts of interesting dynamics. And if you're going to be together for a very long time, which is one of the ways that we can learn and grow together. It doesn't have to be sexual exploration per se, but if you're willing to entertain doing things and finding what's going to work for the two of you and find your own way to do relationship, like a designer relationship, it can include sex or exploration with other people. There's a ton of people who successfully swing. And in swinging, it's a very common thing where men watch their wives have sex with other men. It's not unusual. It's kind of while they're maybe having sex with someone or not. You know what I'm saying? So there's a lot of room for, we need to be more experimental and more tolerant about sexuality and educate people. So those, for example, that guy with the friends with benefits who knows a little bit more about how, men don't understand even women's physiologies, their anatomies, where the clitoral bulbs are, how to stimulate it, how to get, before you even have intercourse with a partner, if a man understands how to really work the clitoral bulbs and get things all juicy and everything, intercourse is going to feel so much better and there won't be the orgasm gap. So a lot of it is education.
That's where OMGS and different tools come in. Rather than watching porn, you can go and access all of these really great tools that are available digitally nowadays. And we talk about OMGS all the time. Have you heard of hot wifing, by the way? I just was introduced to, I haven't participated in any hot wifing.
Sure.
However, I was introduced to the term and I was like, huh. And then I was like, wait, what is that? Just fairly recently. And it's another kind of exploration of what people are into.
Like,
and
is it a swinging world thing?
Not necessarily. Okay. Have you heard of hot wifing?
No, but we will if you tell us. Please do.
I thought it was in this episode. I personally don't know. We need to have an episode on this. Cuckolding, my understanding isn't necessarily this what this person's asking. It's actually wanting to watch, I believe, right?
Cuckolding is when your partner has sex with someone else.
And did you watch or you just hear, or it can happen, you can see it or not?
Well, to be cuckolded means that your wife where your partner has
is unfaithful
yes. and has sex.
Okay.
But the watching it is where people get off on it. And I think when we talk about cuckolding as a sport per se, that's what we're talking about.
Or you could come home and be like, I just fuck some other dude. It's amazing.
That's what hot wifing is, where you're fucking other dude and you like talk about it with the, that's what, as opposed to cuckolding where you're watching it, but you
have
distinction wife to go and fuck another. It is related to heterosexuality here, the term at least.
Would hot wifing also just be like maybe you're at a party and that you're watching your wife get hit on by all of these people and you're like, yeah, that's my wife.
Maybe, but I don't think the guy isn't present usually. It's like they go off. So maybe if they went into another room and he knew they were fucking, that would be hot wifing. But cuckolding is when you actually watch your wife get fucked or your partner. I don't want to say man
I
and
think
woman,
that's,
husband,
that's
wife,
it,
but yeah.
Yeah.
So that's the difference.
You know, we used to call this sloppy seconds.
Oh.
You never heard that one?
Oh, yeah. I haven't.
Maybe
sure.
Not this
way.
That's the term I used about when I started dating my partner. And I was like, I don't want your sloppy seconds.
I had already
seconds.
Slept with him
yeah,
before.
I was like, yeah. I don't need your sloppy seconds. And she was
but
like,
she took them.
But I did.
And I dated him.
The idea of having like a load of semen in the vagina of the partner.
Oh,
that's sloppy seconds. So you go in after there. You're the lubricant to somebody else's sperm.
We didn't.
Oh
do
no,
that
we
one.
Didn't do that. No, yeah. Just to clarify, that didn't happen.
Okay.
Is it called sloppy seconds or hoppy seconds?
Sloppy.
Oh, so you're, right? you're going and you're like, yeah. oh yeah, there's already someone else's sperm inside of me.
But now we're going
no, we definitely didn't do that one.
Oh my God. I like this one.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, we haven't done that yet.
Wow.
Like we'd be true sisters if we did.
Yeah, we would.
Bucket list.
So much to want, so little time. Yeah.
Well, your book is incredibly, not only informational, because that sounds boring, but it's insightful and it gives you the tools and the tips and the tricks. But it's also research based and you have a PhD. You're a doctor. So it's
a real one. I didn't just buy it or
no, buy it. No, you can tell by the way.
You've been on the Today Show. I mean, we read your bio. You have a lot of street cred, Dr. Nan. And John is just amazing to have on the show because not only is he absolutely another perspective for us to have, a penis owner that's in this long-term relationship that's successful, but he's supportive of your work
and he worships.
He even brought up
women.
safe, yes. sensual. I'm like, fuck yeah, John, the attorney, he knows. Sending you some documents. No, I'm
bring it on.
Bring it on.
How can people find and work with you, Dr. Nan? Although I know you have your book and I know you also do sessions with folks. So yeah. Will you tell the listeners out there how they can?
I actually find every time I'm on your show, I get a lot of wonderful people looking for sessions. So the easiest way to get in touch with me is go on my website, askdrnan.com, and doctor spelled out with all the letters. And you can set up a free consult with me right on the phone there. Just schedule it. And, I like to do very short-term interventions with people, like 4 to 6 sessions, couples, individuals, if you want to recreate your life, your sex life, if you're finding that something is in the way of your pleasure. This, like my book, is really about sex, but more about our capacity to experience pleasure is a very healing force. And I know from my own personal journey as someone who's had a lot of anxiety, when you have a lot of anxiety or depression, it's hard to access pleasure. And pleasure is really, really important. It's not a luxury at all. It's a necessity for a well-functioning emotional brain that we share with our four-leggeds.
We all have our doggies here.
Four babies.
We share with our dogs and other animals, and we ignore in psychology the embodied visceral emotions that hijack us and get in the way. Mm-hmm. So I love the work that you ladies are doing. I love just the conversations that we have. And it's extraordinary. You're paradigm shifters.
And if they want your book, do they get that on your website?
They can get everything on my website. They can read my blog. They can see the articles that I write. I write about all sorts of things. I write about sex, relationships, well-being, politics. Boy, we have a lot to talk about. How we heal this big divide. You know, there's lots and lots of things that we get to do to make the world a better and more fun place for all of us.
And John, are you still practicing law? If someone's in New Jersey and needs an attorney, can they call you?
No, I've retired.
Okay, sorry, yeah. folks.
But if they want to learn how to respect women, call John and he'll teach you.
Yeah, right? His number's 555-1212. Well, I have RESPECT for both of you, Dr.
Thank
Nan.
You. Oh, same yes. to
Likewise.
You, ladies. This is so much fun.
Back at you.
Keep us posted.
Oh, yeah. We'll have you back. We have lots of sex questions for you to answer.
Yeah.
We do.
Relationship, love, work, you name it.
Mm-hmm. You have just a great approach. And so thank you. Thank you for that, just sharing your knowledge. And we will see you again soon. You two are amazing. Go have a glass of wine. We prefer Margins wine. And if you go to www.marginswine.com, I hate www. And isn't it HTTP now?
HTTP.
/// Anyway.
///
You can go to Margins Wine though and check out why Amy and I have been huge fans of this small batch boutique wine. Mm-hmm. And go ahead, sign up for the newsletter. They do 2 to 3 shipments. Megan Bell, women owned and operated. Most of the grapes come from Santa Cruz area. So check out our beautiful California grown grapes.
We love the Sangiovese, the Muscat Blanc.
That's what we're drinking right now. So you can also save money if you buy three or more bottles. Go to our website in the show notes and access the codes for Margins Wine. All right, y'all. We will see you next Tuesday. Ciao for now.
Want to learn more? Go to shamelesssex.com.
And for 15% off of some of our favorite sex toys, use code SHAMELESSSEX at purepleasureshop.com.